The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try to silence our voices. They'll pretend to be patriots, fighting for fairness for all. But they're not even fit to hold office. What they believe doesn't fit with freedom at all. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states.
We were able to look into one or two small items. And I take my hat off, and I salute Vern Schoep more than I had ever done in the past. I'm kind of stumped for words, except that I think people should be listening to Vern Schoep. Thank you. Now, the next thing that I want to get to is a subject that is very dear to me. The general title is mooching. Now, when I got to be a little bit older, people described me when I was nursing from my mom's breast. That was my source of food. They said, "Man, he really goes after it. He's methodical. He can't get enough." Now, I don't really call that mooching. I call that my mom and my dad knew what they were doing. But that wasn't mooching. I was just getting all I could. Now, one thing I've never been accused of is mooching in my life. And I want to give you an incident. At one time in my life, the amount of money that I had to buy food was not enough. And I was on a football team. And so I said, okay, I know what to do. When the other players would get done with their food, I stood up and I walked over and I said, "May I take your tray and your plate and your glass to the clean window?" They said, "Yeah." It looked at me funny. I walked over to my plate and scraped everything off their plate, their leftovers on my plate. I then started eating some, but then I said, "Whoops, there's not enough here." And so I started clearing the tables for other players. They were astounded. And I got a lot of food that day. Didn't matter to me that it was leftovers. Didn't matter to me that somebody else had been, using their knife and fork. The next day I started doing that again. And those young men, stood up and walked over and got another milk. They got another thing of corn. They got another thing of meat. They got and they brought it over and brought me fresh plates. And I said, "Oh man, guys, I really, really appreciate this." And you know what? They couldn't believe I was eating 3 to 4 times as much as the bigger players. That's how much I have to eat when I'm really doing a lot. And they said, and I said, "Look, guys, I don't want you to think I'm mooching." They said, "You ain't mooching. It's free to us. We saw you had a problem." So if a few other men saw I had a problem, they didn't call it mooching. They knew that I performed. They knew I wouldn't be doing that if I had money. Well, about 3 months later, I was then awarded a full scholarship. And I had all the food I wanted. I didn't have to clean plates no more. And my buddies did not have to, they weren't breaking any rules. They could get 2 milks and give 1 to me. They weren't breaking any rules. But some people would say, "Well, that was mooching." Well, if you want to call that mooching, then I was mooching. And that brings me into the subject right now. The main subject of this entire show, although I will hit back and forth on other items that I think are going to be a little tough. Right now, and I'm not asking for sympathy, I can afford $100 a month to donate to RBN. That breaks down to $12.50 per show. That means that I am 3 times light if I use a number of $50 per hour. Per hour of RBN. Do I know if that $50 is valid? No, I do not know if that number is valid. Okay? I can only make an estimate. Now, by using a cutoff of hours of host on RBN, and I cut off a couple hours each day because of my attitude. So I cheated there, if you want. However, 5 days a week, they have 14 hours of live broadcast at RBN. On the weekends, they have 24 hours. Okay, so 15 times 14, 70. 2 times 12 is 24. That's 92 hours of live broadcast. And I chopped a couple hours off of each thing. I have a reason for that. It's considered inappropriate, not following decorum, to give out my reason at this time. And I don't like that. But I will follow certain decorum. Now, if at $94 an hour, by my estimated $50 an hour, that would bring in $4,700 a week times 4, would bring in $18,800 a month. That sounds like a big number. That's not exactly a giant number. I have no idea of how much the board ops receive for their work and their op, you know, all the things they do. I have no idea what the rent on the buildings are. I have no idea as to what, how much it costs for all, you know, for the internet, for all the phones. I can only make a guess. But that's $18,800. Now, at some particular time, the listeners of RBN have got to understand that times are tough for RBN as well as us. Now, I'm going to give you just a little statistic. You know, it's a little one, but it's big. In the last year, last 12 months, my cash position has gone down 23%. Now, I didn't have a big number. My cash position would not pay for a funeral, in-ground funeral. It wouldn't pay for half of an in-ground funeral. Okay? That means you get in a casket, you get a plot of land, and they bury it. Now, some people say that there's a possibility on the cheap that I could get burnt. Well, the good book says that I'm not supposed to get burnt, you know, turn into ashes. Good book says that you're supposed to bury, and I hope I'm a good guy, in the ground. So my cash position has gone down tremendously. I know that everybody is hurting. And we're just beginning in the hurting. But at the same time, RBN, I think, is very valuable. If you don't think it's valuable, why the hell are you listening? Why don't you go play Pinochle? Which I think the people that are listening to a lot of different shows, a lot of different opinions, a lot of different angles that people come at it, they're listening because they like it. They think that people are saying something of truth. Now, that's my guess. However, that is passive. That means, well, you're just sitting there listening, having your potato chips. That's not what is needed now. What is needed now for people to learn how to stand up. So, I am requesting that people listen to what I'm going to say right now carefully. Please send right now $12.50 to RBN. I did not say $12.25. I did not say $15. I did not say $20. I did not say $100. I said $12.50. And this cannot be done by calling up the studio and them taking the information, you know, verbally. That defeats the 1250. Now, I'm making the assumption that with credit cards and things of that nature, that the 50 cents will go for all the fees of credit cards and debit cards and all that kind of wookie-mookie stuff, okay? Now, if people will send, and they must send $12.50. Now, let's say you got a husband and a wife. Well, they both want to contribute. Then they have to do it twice. Once for the husband, once for the wife. Because we need to get a record, if it's possible to get a record today. And I was informed that Board Ops will be looking to see if and how many of people will actually donate $12.50. I know one individual that does donate $100 a month. And they said, yes, we're going to go ahead and do $12.50 for your show, Jerry. Now, when you go to RBN and you go to that donate thing, you know, that button, and it does by credit card. It's not hard to do. And it says you can actually type in a little memo. This is very important. Type in gathering offering. Just gathering offering. That's it. And that way, if things go right with what is supposed to be less than 1% of, I said if, I don't have all the numbers I used to have able to acquire them when I was in RBN the first time. If 1%, that's actually a smaller number, 1%, will, in during the next 2 hours, donate $12.50, and you add in, you know, my $100 a week, that means that the gathering offering would be prepaid for 4 months. For 4 months. Now, let's say that people respond pretty good, and there's extra money other than that, you know, for that 4 months. Then, boy, would I be tickled pink. I would be just jumping up and down, because now I wouldn't be mooching. But if more money came in, then next week I am going to ask people to vote. Who do we want to support on RBN? And we'll have a system set up, hopefully, where you can call in and say, I want host A to receive this extra money towards their show, for supporting their show. Now, if somebody else calls, you know, sends a little message, I would prefer to be B. I'm not going to make the decision if there's any extra. The listening audience will make the decision. That doesn't mean that they have to donate another $12.50. It just means, since you don't, you know, enough people stepped up, we had some extra money. Who do we want to vote with our dollars should get that money towards their show? Now, they don't get any money, the host, but RBN knows now, hey, that was the first choice. Or that was, you know, the people wanted to have A or B. Maybe we got to put a C in there. I'm open. I would like to ask people to call in at 512-248-8252 and make a comment about this. Should we have an activist way to pick and choose as who we want to support? I know I want that. I want that. I'm not supposed to say this. And I'm not going to say names or anything like that. But I am aware of something I don't like. And I wouldn't want my money going there. I can't stop that. But you know what? Let's say 95% of the hosts get positive, and there's 5% that people don't like. Guess what happens? We start finding new hosts that people like. And there are some hosts that the language they use, it infuriates me. Infuriates me. I haven't actually listened to them for over 4 months, 5 months almost. I did it, actually, I found him before I was asked to come back to RBN. I couldn't believe it. And I don't want any of my money. I wouldn't want my used toilet paper going to those particular individuals. Used toilet paper. I wouldn't give them that. And I think that the listeners should have a way to say, hey, I don't like that guy anymore. I figured out who he is. Anyway, I would be appreciative if anybody has any comments about me not mooching. Because at $12.50 per hour, and if I use the cost factor of $50 an hour, I am mooching off of RBN. I don't want to be a mooch. So, since I don't want to be a mooch, I'm asking for assistance. And I hear the phone just buzzing right now with all the people that are, you know, calling in. Ha, ha, ha. Because now what I'm trying to do is to put the burden on people that, and I know some people that have contributed, and they're saying, yeah, we'll go ahead and do this. We'll do this $12.50. I know two people have some very serious problems that can pop up on them, in 30 seconds. And, you know, I understand those particular problems those people are having. Okay, so anyway, that's it. I have some more other numbers about this. If anybody wanted to do this, do that. And I will guarantee you, if I had $300 extra a month, I would send it. I don't have that now. And I'm not asking for sympathy. Okay, I'm not asking for sympathy at all. But if I were to donate an extra $300, I'd be in, you know, real trouble. Okay, and I'm not going to real trouble without people that want to support. Now I'm going to go into something that is real life. I've looked at my clock, and I'm just going to give you like a little teaser of what they call it on the media. This is real. I was there. My family was there. This is serious. This is beyond serious. Now, at the time when I learned this information, I didn't really understand that this is serious. However, because of the information that I began to start learning when I was 10, at a later time in my life, I looked into this issue rather extensively. Rather extensively. And you know what? I was gagging all the way through my history study. I mean, there were times I just couldn't even believe that I had been so stupid to leave this subject and not study it years ago. I called myself every name there was as I continued to study this subject. Is that a little bit of a lead in? Supposed to be having a station break right now. Maybe I'm off the air. I don't know. Okay, thank you, Mike. All right. Now, when I was 10 years old, my grandpa Kirk, he asked for a family meeting with only men, no women. My grandpa Kirk was down to where what he had. That was it. He was going to die, and nobody knew that at this particular time, but he knew it. We were to find out shortly thereafter. He said, the things that I have, I am giving them all to Jerry. I'm not giving any to anybody else. Wow. That was wild. He gave me two chests that he had made himself. Oh, I wish I had them. I wish I had pictures of the inside and everything else. I couldn't believe it. People that did look at them for years, they just, wow, look at that. Now, he also gave me a saddle, a bridle, a lead, and three bullwhips. I didn't know how to use Wolf Bull with them, but boy, I learned the hard way. And then my grandpa told me, he said, you know, he opened the chest, and everything was in the most unbelievable organized fashion anybody could ever imagine. And he had all of the old-fashioned hand tools, nothing electric. Everything the way that he had done it during his life. And while he was talking, he said, every single space is used here. Well, I started thinking a couple days later. He said, every single space is used. What does that mean? I mean, it was just methodical of every space being used. And then I saw a rectangle. And I said, that rectangle is too big. It was made out of special wood. So I kept looking at it, and I started taking all the tools around it off and putting them back in place, and then taking them off, putting them back in place, and then I took them off, and I kept studying it. And then I thought I saw this little bitty hairline space, and I tapped it, and the door opened. It opened. I said, wow, that looked like just a piece of wood, but it wasn't used for anything. It opened, and I took out some little boxes, and I opened the boxes. And I said, oh my gosh, look at this. This is mine. And one of them had this solid gold chain on it. And one of them had this, and another one had that. And then they had this thing. It was like on a little stick. And there was this round thing. And I'm looking at it one side, the other side, and what the heck is this? I ain't never seen nobody ever wear something like that around their neck. But it moved. And so, not being real smart, I said, well, let's just see. And I took my finger and I thumped it, and it spun. And by spinning, I could see an image. I said, wow, look at this. Well, anyway, I wasn't right there with my grandpa when I discovered that, but about a week later, I was up there. And, of course, he also gave me a horse. And that horse's name was Buck. And my grandpa had been training that horse for 3 years. So when we went back up there, I had two things to talk about because I wasn't allowed to get on Buck the first time I saw him. And, you know, he'd have to be a pretty good horse, wouldn't you think, for a guy that was 82 and a half to 83 years old to be able to get on and ride? Wouldn't you think he's pretty good? So the first thing I did is I said, I'm going to get on Buck. And so anyway, my Uncle Jim, he assisted me and putting on the saddle and bridle, and I was wondering, why the hell is he trying to do that before I could put a saddle and a bridle on? Goodness gracious. Well, anyway, he got that done, and now my dad was there, and there was ladies there, aunts, uncles, things of that nature. I couldn't get on the horse. I could not get on the horse. The horse wouldn't let me get on. Now, everybody's scratching their heads, and they're saying, this doesn't make sense. So I said, okay, well, I'm going to put this horse in a certain place, and I take a running start, and I can jump up on this and jump up on this and land on the saddle. Well, that was a good idea, everybody said, except I ran and jumped too hard and went all over the saddle and landed on my face. Well, now that didn't work. Okay, let's try that again. Let's run and jump and get on the saddle and land on the saddle, not on the dirt on the other side. Bottom of the half-hour break. I hope I'm not boring you.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon
are very informative. Here's just a few. Carrie, great product, and I will continue to use. I've been taking it for over a year now. I'm 60 and feel great. I would highly recommend this product to anyone over the age of 40. Amazon customer, 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. Extendivite has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Great product. I use regularly, and I rarely get sick. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Listen, news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead, and when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight 4 of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC.
1-4-1-9. Gentlemen. So anyway, I'm talking about this 3-year-old gelding. Beautiful. I mean, just big and strong, everything. And I can't get him to do anything. And so I get off. And he's real funky when I'm trying to get off, too. And I don't understand that. So my Uncle Jim and my dad said, you know, Dad, being my grandpa, always said someday he would train a horse backwards. So they said, everything that you know how to do with a horse, Jerry, do it the opposite way of what you are trained to do. So this time, instead of getting on the horse's left side, I go to the right side, and I get on with no problem. When I wanted to have him go forward, I pulled back on the reins, and he went forward. when I wanted him to stop, I would sort of kick him in the ribs, and he'd stop. Well, you kick a horse a little bit in the ribs, they go faster. Everything was backwards. So I got off, and Grandpa had a big smile on his face. He said, let's just put this horse away and let's go inside, since Jerry found that spin thing and some other things. We went inside and got some lemonade, and he sat down and he said, I want to tell you about this spin thing. He said, back in the day when I had my wagon hauling business, some people approached me and said, you're doing a really good job. We would like to help you get more people to use your wagon hauling. He got up to over 14 wagons and teams. That's a lot in those days. And anyway, he said, okay. And they said, just join our group and you'll be part of the group. We'll make sure you get more business. He said, great. So he joined the group. And he was at level one. And he was doing better. And then they said, you know, if you get into level two, you'll probably do even better. He said, well, what did I do to get into level two? Oh, not much. Just taking, do this, go over here, do that, pass out a flyer, this, that, and the other. He said, well, that ain't no work. He says, yeah, I'll do that. About 4, 5, 6 months later, they said, you can get into level three. He said, what, level three? I said, yeah, we'll have a big ceremony. And, you know, we'll get you in our group better. The grandpa showed up for the level three. And they said, you need to say, here's the prayer. It's in writing. You read it. And you read it out loud. And you make that prayer. He read it. And it said he was praying to Lucifer. Lucifer. My grandpa was required for them to get him into level three. He had to say a prayer that said two or three times, I pray, I dedicate myself to Lucifer. My grandpa was not the smallest man around. He was about 6'4". He was never overweight. And I'm here to assure you that at 240, 250 pounds, he was you didn't screw with my grandpa. He told them in the most gross language that I'm not allowed to use on RVM. And he was talking about the fact that he should stand up and beat them into the ground. My grandpa had anger in his eyes. My grandpa had anger in his tone, and he said, you all need to know about this group. They do this to people to get more money. Pray to Lucifer. Does that sound like a prayer that you, a decent, good listener to RBN, would you want to pray to Lucifer? Because if you do, please don't listen. If you want to pray to Lucifer, please don't listen to the gathering offering. Because I don't want anything to do with you. Now, as I got older, I said, you know, I need to look into this praying to Lucifer. I went into it rather extensively. I traced it back to the Crusades, where it was initiated. The name of what it was initiated in the Crusades, I can't find that name on the internet. I've tried to type. Nothing. It never shows up, that particular name. Jason. J-A-S-O-N. Actually was known as the Jason Society. Now, after time went by, it kept morphing into a different name and multiple different names with different groups. One country would have a name here, and another country would have another name. Some countries have two or three different names in their country of this group. there is an individual that I have listened to, and I know exactly what that individual said. And that individual is, in the most polite terms, a blankety blank blank. That's the most polite terms. Can't even say the most polite terms. He is a Mark Master Mason. Mark Master Mason. He gets on sometimes as a host, a guest host. Not as guest host, but as a guest on some other people's shows. He's a frequent caller. This man is dangerous. If I had any say-so at RBN, never would I allow that man to ever call in. Now, if I was the emperor, dictator, whatever you want to call the world, every single Mason would either quit their group or they'd be going into the 86 trash can. They do more to people as they get up to the higher levels. Over the course of my life, I've had two or three times where somebody heard about me, and I'm talking good men. And when I meet them, they're a basket case because they know what they want to talk about. I don't know what they want to talk about, but they ask me. And they explain to me some of the things they had to do to get up to the higher levels of their particular Masonic Lodge. These men, a couple of them actually had tears come out. One guy actually broke down and made noise while he had tears. These guys wanted to commit suicide because of what they had done. And I'm not going to go into, you think about the most gross things that can ever happen to a man. And they were conned into it. They get conned into it by, oops, a little bit too much alcohol at the beginning of the meeting, a little too much or whatever the hell they put into the water or tea. But they did it. And I said, you can't commit suicide. You have to stand up. Suicide will get you to hell. That'll do that to you. You can't do that. You have to stand up, face your error that you made, and communicate to people what happened to you. It's very damn difficult for a man, a good man, to even begin to communicate if somebody did something like that to you. Very, very difficult. These were not little wimps. These were not people that were broke on the street looking for a mooch or a handout. And I've actually, now besides my research, I've talked to three or four men that hunted me down because I knew something about the subject. Now let's look at Mark Master Mason. Ah, can't be a buy and sell without the name, the number, and the mark of the beast. Mark Master Mason. I've heard that man brag. I'm not using his name. I'm not that stupid. He and his group listen to RBN all the time and find out, who can we become a handler for? And they do handle certain shows. The hosts don't know that they're being handled. Maybe they do. But most don't know they're being handled by an expert at handling. This guy brags. He brags. I'm a Catholic, I'm a Jew, and I'm a Mark Master Mason. If anybody hears that puke box call into any show, you ought to call into that show and call him out for what he is. Stand up. You don't need to have that type of manure in your life. I'm going to give you one more story about Masonic Lodge. When I was in Arkansas, somebody reached me. They were very open. They were also very powerful. When I say powerful, I'm talking about one hell of an IQ. Within the first 4 or 5 minutes, I knew I was not talking to a ding-dong. And this man bragged about being the Masonic Lodge. I said, oh, okay, great. And you know what he bragged about the most? He had 6 fingers on each hand and 6 toes on each foot. What does the good book say? It gives you a story that the Canaanites at the highest level of their kings have 6 fingers and 6 toes. And they were captured by the man of breath. And they were stump hung. It's in your good book. Following the law, that's what somebody should have done. But me saying, this is not the time, and I don't have anybody to help stump hang somebody like that, I decided to stay away from that piece of garbage at that time. They're out there. Now, going back to that, many, many years, to the time I was 6 and 7 years old, my Aunt Jean started dating a man. Well, she didn't marry, but they remained friends. And that guy would get invited to various meals and things of that nature at my Aunt Jean's. And one day he mentioned that he had 6 toes on each foot. Now, his hands only had 5 fingers each. Well, all of us kids said, you gotta get pee. He took his shoes off, and I saw him. Now, I've seen pictures of other people like this. But here's a guy that I didn't even know what the hell I was doing, being around this guy. He had 6 fingers and 6 toes. That is one of the things that you're to look for with bad guys. It's a physical thing. And if that's a bad guy, you stay away from bad guys. I'd like you to think about that. And golly gee, I'm being overwhelmed with all the people that want to call in at 512-248-8252, being overwhelmed of people saying, golly gee, I'd like to donate $12.50. No, I don't want to see here, I'd like to donate. I would like to hear from people who say, you know, I scratched $12.50 out of my pocket and sent it in to see if we can keep Jerry not being a mooch. Now, I think everybody understands my position of Masonic lodges. But what you don't know is all the details that I know relative to control of the voting. They control the voting because if you're in that group and they tell you to vote for somebody and you don't vote for that somebody, guess what? All of a sudden your business starts going woo-hoo down the tubes. There's a verse in the Bible, and it says, my vineyard is, this is the only begotten son talking, my vineyard is destroyed because of many preachers. If you get in, you start doing a subject study of the Masonic Lodge, and you go into certain areas based on their agricultural type of basis, I'm not talking about in the cities, out in the country where people farm, you find out how many of those preachers are in the Masonic Lodge. Oops! Now I'm making more people upset, because most likely your entire election process is controlled by that lodge, because they actually tell, I have been somewhere and lived there for, what was it, like, close to 20 years. And people told me, hey, there's 8 families in our county that control our county. And if they want somebody elected, they get that guy elected. And every one of those families, with the exception of one lady, was a member of the Masonic Lodge. Every single one of them. I went to war with them. And guess what? Police didn't like me no more. Courts didn't like me no more. and all kinds of other people that didn't like me no more. Boy, I was happy as hell. The people that did like me, I was happy as hell. I was happy as hell when they hated me, and I was happy as hell when they loved me. Because I eliminated a lot of people out of my life. I don't want anything to do with people that pray to Lucifer. I'd like you to chew on that, ladies and gentlemen. I'm almost without words. Now, that's hard for me to believe I'm saying. Got a station break. Thank you.
You know that nothing beats a storable food stockpile for readiness. But there are two problems with storable food. It's expensive, and eventually, it runs out. Then what? What happens to you or your family when there's not enough food to go around? In a true survival scenario, you need a renewable food source. That's why Seed Armory has developed a survival-grade seed vault that can produce over $25,000 worth of crops from just one kit. Unlike other seed vaults, we don't inflate our seed counts with fillers. All our seeds are 100% heirloom and non-GMO. Not a green thumb? Don't worry. We've written an easy-to-follow guide to guarantee your success from planting to harvest. For a limited time, we're offering an additional 10% off your order when you enter the code RBN at checkout. Go to seedarmory.com. That's seedarmory.com. Don't wait. Like everything else, seeds are in short supply.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the second hour. It's been underwhelming, the number of people that want to donate $12.50. I report the truth. And this is very discouraging that in the amount of time that I've spent on that, $25. I mean, there was a time in my life, you know, if somebody offered me $25 for a cigarette, I'd laugh at them. You got to be kidding me. Anyway, now I'm going to go into the real meat. Trying to give you an example by the 1250 of not just listening, but becoming an activist. Somebody that is doing something. If you can't scratch 1250 to just do one demonstration, and if people don't call in, well, jiminy Christmas, we got a lot of couch potatoes. Yeah, I'm calling listeners. You don't get your butt off the couch, you're called a couch potato. And if you can't get motivated by somebody saying, stand up, do something besides listen or talk. Nothing happens until the people stand up. When I was 15 years old, the price of gasoline was 15 cents a gallon. When I was 16, it was 16 cents. 17, 17, 18, 18, 19, 19. When I turned 20, instead of gas going to 20, it went to 25 cents a gallon. You know what happened at that time? Thousands and thousands and millions of people said, screw you, government. Screw you, gas stations. We're not going to work. We're going to pick up signs. We're going to peacefully go to gas stations and tell people you're being raped. I'm hearing music right now. Thank you.
We must take America back. We must take America.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.